Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We are in the midst of a series on the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is our most ancient creed, based on the old Roman creed written somewhere before 250 AD. Christians for about 2,000 years have used this creed in church to confess their faith in the Trinity, one God in three eternal persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God in three persons. If you have never heard the Apostles' Creed, I'll do it quickly because I'm going to go slowly through the rest of it. Here it is. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you missed the first program, that was on what's called the first article of the creed, the first person of the Trinity, let me catch you up. It means Christianity has to be personal for you. Believe in. We're not saved by believing about God. We're believing in God. That means we trust Him. I believe in God, singular. Christians are monotheists. I believe in God the Father. That means God wants a loving relationship with you. I believe in God the Father Almighty. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. Maker of heaven and earth. That means this universe was created. It was designed. You have a purpose and meaning. The whole creation has a purpose and meaning because it was created by God for a purpose. Now we will get to the what's called the second article of the creed, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, as we talk now about Your Son, Jesus Christ, we would pray that whoever is watching the show that doesn't quite exactly know who Jesus is, that You will open their eyes to that, and that today that person will put their trust in Him, and all of us will be brought closer to You as we examine this ancient creed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in Jesus. The word Jesus in Hebrew is a word Yeshua, which means literally Jehovah saves. So when you say Jesus, you're saying Jehovah saves. And the angel says to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, name the baby Yeshua, Jehovah saves, for He shall save His people from their sins. There's a story that many years ago, an ocean liner was cruising the Mediterranean. A man's dog fell overboard. The man runs up to the captain, "Stop the ship, my dog fell overboard." The captain says, "Sir, this is a great ocean liner. The King of Greece is sailing with us today. We don't stop the ship for a dog." "Well, but if it was a man, if a man fell overboard, you'd stop the ship." "Well, yes, we would. If there was," and with that, the man jumps overboard, rescues his dog. They had to stop the ship and rescue them both. When you say, "I believe in Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah saves," you're saying this: I believe I'm a sinner. I'm drowning in my sin. Jesus leaps overboard, comes down from heaven, becomes a human being, picks me up, and saves me from my sin. That's what the word Jesus means. So let me just stop and ask you, do you know that Jesus has saved you from your sins? Michelangelo, the great painter and sculptor, in 1564, at age 89, he is dying. The priest comes in to give him last rites, and Michelangelo says, "I regret that I have not done enough for the salvation of my soul." And I don't know what the priest said to him, but I know what I'd say. No one has done enough for the salvation of their soul. That's why we need Jesus to come down and save us. You know, I've been to many deathbeds as a pastor, and sometimes you hear, "Well, Pastor, I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven." And I have to explain, you haven't been, neither have I. We're sinners who deserve hell. But the way we get to heaven is Jesus came down from heaven, died, and rose again. Believe in him, and you'll be saved. And I love it when I go to a deathbed and somebody says something like this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." In other words, I don't save me. My own goodness doesn't save me. Jesus saves me. That's what his name means. Jehovah saves. Next word. I believe in Jesus Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. Some people think Christ is Jesus' last name, and Joseph and Mary Christ had a baby and called him Jesus Christ. That's not what it means. When you're saying Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. Christ is a title, meaning he's the anointed one, the Messiah, same thing, promised in the Old Testament, who would come and save the Jews. I believe in Jesus. He is the Christ, the anointed one. Next words, God's only Son. That means there has only been one incarnation. Incarnation means enfleshment. There's only been one time God took on a human body and became a man. Hinduism has hundreds of gods and hundreds of times that gods have become men in Hinduism. In Christianity, only one God who's only become human once. Many years ago, I used to answer the phones for the Billy Graham Crusades. And I remember a Hindu calling from India, and he was very excited. He says, "I want to accept Jesus Christ." And I had to make sure he knew what he was doing. So I said, "Well, good, but you understand there's only one God, not 100. And God only became man once." And he said, "That's right. That's what I want. That's what I mean," he wanted the real incarnation. His only Son means one incarnation. I've quoted this before, but it's so bad. Oprah claims to be a Christian, and she said on her show, "I was raised Baptist to believe that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. Now I believe Jesus came to earth to get us in touch with our own inner Christ consciousness." In other words, we're all the Christ. No, we're not. And then I remember years ago, Shirley MacLaine, who's very New Age, was on the Oprah show and misquoted the Bible to Oprah and said, "Oprah, be still and know that you are God." No, you're not. There's only one God who's only been incarnated once in Christ Jesus. So I was walking through the Denver airport, and a very excitable man comes up to me, long orange robe, bald, and he puts this big Bhagavad Gita book in my hands, and he says, "I want to give you a free gift from Hare Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita." And I said, "Thank you," and I took the book. And he said, "Would you give money? Would you donate money?" And I said, "I can't." "Well, why not?" I said, "I don't think Hare Krishna is from God." He said, "Well, we believe Jesus is a son of God." And I said, "I know. I believe he's the son of God, period." "Well, we believe if you keep the perfect teachings of the perfect master Jesus, you too will attain salvation." I said to him, "I can't do that." That's why he had to die on the cross. And you know, when I said those words, his face got strange. It was like I slugged him, and he took the free gift back and went on. But years ago, there was a horrible movie called Oh God, with George Burns playing God, and John Denver was his follower. And John Denver says to George Burns, "Was Jesus your son?" And George Burns says, "Yes, he was my son. But Moses was my son. Muhammad was my son. Buddha was my son. You know, everybody is the Christ." No, no, no. There's one God. We ain't him, and he's been incarnated. He took on human flesh only once. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Next word, our Lord. Let's talk about the little word our. That means every Christian is to be part of the church. It doesn't say my Lord, my own personal private Jesus. I just me and Jesus, and I don't need the church. No, no, you need the church. Every Christian is to be part of the hour of our Father and the hour of our Lord in the Creed. And if you're not part of the Christian church, are you a Christian? So this lady calls me up, Pastor Brock, I'd like you to baptize my baby. And I didn't know this woman. And do you have a church you go to? No. Well, you know, when in the baptismal service, you make a vow to raise this child in the church, and you're going to raise this child as a Christian. Well, she says, Bible never says you have to go to church. I said, yes, it does. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I didn't convince her, but we got to get over this Lone Ranger Christianity. You cannot be a Christian by yourself. You are part of the church if you're a Christian. And, you know, now and then I'll get an email or a letter. Oh, Pastor Brock, I don't go to church anymore because they offended me and they did something. But you're my church now. And I write them back. I say, no, I'm not. You can't get Holy Communion out of a TV set. And you can't serve the TV set. One reason you go to church is not just to get, but to give, to somehow use your gifts to serve the Lord. Every Christian is to be part of the church. And if you're not part of the church, find a good church and start going regularly. Last word for today. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. The word Lord has two meanings. God and master. When you say Jesus is my Lord, you're saying he's my God and he's my master. Let's talk about both of those. First, Jesus is Lord. That means he's God. I when I was a young preacher, one of my first sermons was at a church in Florida, and I preached that Jesus is God, eternal with the Father and the Spirit. And a man, maybe 80 years old, he put up his hand and he says, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the Son of God. I said, he is the Son of God. He's also God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And he said, oh, so Jesus is God the Son they talk about. I said, yeah. You know, I think I think this man had been in church his whole life. I think it's possible. A lot of people go to church for years. This happened to me as a kid. I didn't understand Jesus was God till I was sitting in confirmation class at age 12, but I'd been to church my whole life before then. Everybody needs to understand Jesus is the eternal God with the Father and the Spirit. That is taught in John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, and on and on. So, the first meaning of Jesus is Lord is that he's God. The second meaning, the word Lord means master. Many of the ancient Christians in the Roman Empire were slaves. They all had a Lord. They had a master. When they came to Christ, they got a new Lord, a new master. When you say Jesus is my Lord, you're saying he runs my life. He's my master. I'm his slave. So let me just stop and ask you that question. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he running your life? I'm not asking, are you perfect? But generally, normally, is Jesus Christ the one who's running your life? I remember years ago, an old professor saying, when Jesus Christ comes into a life, he does not come in to sit on the floor. He either comes in as the Lord or he doesn't come in at all. Many years ago, during the horse and buggy days, a wealthy man had a chauffeur that drove his buggy and with the reins on the horse. And the chauffeur had a drinking problem. And it got so bad that one day the wealthy man had to say, I'm sorry, but it's not safe for you to drive my wife and children. I have to let you go. But John, isn't it time you gave him the reins of your life? Well, quite a while passed, and later in the streets of the city, they met again. It was maybe awkward, but the former chauffeur runs up, "Oh, sir, I just want you to know, I've gotten a good job now. Things are going well, and sir, I've given him the reins of my life." When you say Jesus is my Lord, my Master, you're saying, I don't run things anymore. Jesus has the reins of my life. Back in the 1700s, John Wesley, on horseback, rode all over England preaching the gospel. He founded what's called the Methodist Church. Many people came to salvation through John Wesley. One night in Hounslow Heath, a region near London, John Wesley is riding his horse, singing a hymn. A thief comes up, puts his gun out, and says, "Get down, I want your money." Wesley emptied out his pockets, didn't have much money, so the thief went through Wesley's saddlebags, nothing but religious books, and the thief is about to leave in disgust when John Wesley stopped him. "Sir, I want to give you one more thing. There may come a day when you tire of your life and what you are doing. If that day ever comes, I give you this verse. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Many years passed. John Wesley now is an aged preacher. He goes to a church one night to preach. Large crowd showed up to hear the famous John Wesley. People lined up in the back of the church to shake Wesley's hand. And one man was insistent on shaking Wesley's hand. And he goes up and he kisses Wesley's hand. And he says, "I'm the man who robbed you on Hounslow Heath. I owe everything to you, sir." And John Wesley said, "Nay, but you owe everything to the blood of Jesus, his son, which cleanses us from all sin." When you say Jesus is my Lord, you're saying he's my God, but now I'm not a thief anymore. I'm not a fornicator. I let Jesus have reins of my life. Let's put it all together. I believe in Jesus, that means Jehovah saves. Christ, that's a title. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, promised to save the Jews. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. I'm not Christ, you're not Christ, there's only been one incarnation. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Every Christian is to be part of the church. And if you're not into a church, find a good church, go every week. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our last word, Lord. That means Jesus is God, and he also is the one who runs my life. And when I sin, I repent, he forgives me, and he keeps running it. Next time, we'll do I Believe in the Holy Spirit. There we go.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, if Jesus is God, who is he talking to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Himself?
Yeah, so one of our viewers who doesn't like my belief that Jesus is God wrote and said, well, was it Jesus talking to himself if he's God in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was killed? Mm-hmm. And I did the best to tell him, there is only one God, but in God are three distinct persons. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. There are distinctions in the Godhead. I know this gets confusing, but I said to him, the best I can tell you, we have in the Garden God the Son talking to God the Father.
And that makes good sense to me.
Well, good.
Do all Christian churches teach that Jesus is God?
All Christian churches teach Jesus is God. Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, non-denominational, evangelical, all churches that are Christian churches believe Jesus is God. The cults, some of them don't. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. Mormons believe Jesus is God, but there are hundreds of gods mm-hmm. in Mormonism. So, yeah.
Okay. Can you deny the Trinity and be saved?
I wouldn't. I mean, somebody said once, if you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. Mm-hmm. If you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. So I'm not under, how can God only be one God, but in God are three eternal persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? This is beyond my noodle, mm-hmm. but that helps me believe it. I mean, if God made perfect sense, I would be suspicious some person dreamed this up years ago. But the fact that the Trinity is so mind-boggling mm-hmm. helps me believe it didn't come from us, you know?
And that we can't understand
no.
everything.
No, we can't.
Okay.
No.
What is the Nicene Creed?
All right. The Apostles' Creed is what we're going through from before 250 A.D. Mm-hmm. Then there was a heretic in the early church called Arius, kind of the ancient version of Jehovah's Witness, teaching Jesus is not God. Jesus is kind of Superman, but he's a creature. God the Father made Jesus at a point in time. That teaching so divided the early church that all the bishops had to come together in 325 AD to a town in modern-day Turkey called Nicaea, mm-hmm. and they came up with the Nicene Creed, which is more spelled out than the Apostles' Creed. For instance, the Nicene Creed says Jesus is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made. So because of ancient heresies in the church, and we can do a series sometime on mm-hmm. the Nicene Creed, which is more detailed, mm-hmm. but that came about to settle some of the ancient false teachings that were hurting the church.
Do they say the Nicene Creed quite frequently in churches, most Christian churches?
They should, mm-hmm. but I would say that a lot of the more traditional churches still use it. Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, yeah.
Okay. So. Some people say, I don't believe in man-made creeds. I just believe in the Bible. How would you respond?
Right. Now, sometimes my Baptist friends might say something like that. I just believe, a man-made creed, I don't believe in, I just believe in the Bible. Well, I just believe in the Bible, too. Mm-hmm. The Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed are summaries of the Bible. Everything that's in the creeds is in the Bible. And I had a Lutheran professor say this, and this made sense to me. He said, sometimes you go to a church, and the pastor does not have the good sense to preach the gospel. But you'll find the gospel in the creed every Sunday. So if you don't know how to be saved and the pastors get up there preaching politics or something, at least if you say the creed, you'll get the salvation message. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I do too.
Yeah.
Here's another question. I used to go to church, but I was hurt by some things that happened. Now I read the Bible on my own and watch preachers on television. Are you saying that is wrong?
If you're replacing being part of the body of Christ with TV preachers, yes, that's wrong. I'm saying that as a TV preacher. Every Christian needs to be in church, yes. Hebrews 10:25.
Yeah, do not forsake the assembling
that's right.
of ourselves together.
That's right.
What do you mean by saying that Jesus is the only Son of God? Aren't we all sons and daughters of God?
Well, the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, are you a daughter of the Lord? Am I a son of the Lord? Small s, yes. Small d, yes. But there's only one capital S, Son of God. Because when the Bible talks about Jesus being the Son of God, that he's the Son of God, and he makes us sons of God, but never with a capital S. He's the only incarnation, only time God became a man.
Would it be better to say we were the children?
Yeah, but I think it's okay to say I'm a son of God or I'm a daughter of God.
Okay.
As long as you realize, like Oprah doesn't, that we're not the Christ consciousness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have trouble believing God has forgiven my sins. I have done some very horrible things. Any help?
Yeah, a few things. First of all, you got to claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You got to trust what God promises in Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So I would say to this person, ask God to forgive you, and then don't bring it up again because he's forgiven you. Don't keep bringing it up. Mm-hmm. If you had an abortion, yes, it was a sin, ask God to forgive you. Receive that forgiveness. Don't bring it up again. Because 1 John 1:9, if you confess, he forgives. I would also say to this person, have you ever confessed your sins to anybody? Bible talks about confessing your sins to God, 1 John 1:9. Mm-hmm. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So maybe this person needs to confess their sins to a pastor or a Christian friend or somebody and hear another Christian proclaim to them, your sins are forgiven. I'm just concerned. I think there are lots of Christians who have never confessed their sins to any human being. And I think the devil loves that. The more he can keep our sins in the darkness and not getting help for them, the more he has victory. So get a prayer partner, confess your sins.
Is there an unforgivable sin?
Jesus said the unforgivable sin is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And people were calling the Holy Spirit the devil. And Jesus said, you've committed the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. That was the Pharisees. Now, some people would say it's not a one-time slip of the tongue. It's a continual rejection of the Holy Spirit. Okay, yeah, I think that's probably true. But that's what Jesus said. That's the only unforgivable sin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any questions that you want to
Let's see here.
Talk about or updates? Or
we get questions coming in. And here's one. I got 1 minute and 56 seconds. One night I was about 8 years old. I was lying in bed, my younger sister and our babysitter, looking at the ceiling. I saw Jesus. That may sound ludicrous, but it really happened. And what she wanted to know, is this stuff real? I think you can have a vision and see Jesus. Paul did. In the Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was on his way to throw Christians in jail. He sees Jesus and he repents and becomes the Apostle Paul. So it can happen. On the other hand, I think it's super rare. Mm-hmm. And if it does happen, you have to test it. Because Paul wrote that Satan can appear as an angel of light.
Yes.
So if you have an angel float into your bedroom tonight, might not be an angel. Mm-hmm. You have to test everything against Scripture. And if the angel says something contrary to Scripture, it's not an angel. It's Satan masquerading as an angel of light. But I don't want to deny that people can have real visions from the Lord. But again, you got to test everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it for today, and everybody, thanks for joining us. We want to encourage you, if you want to watch more of our sermons for free anytime, you go to pastorstudy.org, you press on the YouTube button there, and you can watch all our shows. Also, if you decide to support us, you can do so at that website, or you'll see an address coming up. If you don't mind, tell us where you see the show, because that'll help us know what people are getting our message and where we're being supported, so we'll know how to plan the future. But again, thank you for praying for us. I get dear people writing us letters, emails. Pastor Brock, we pray for you often in your ministry. Thank you for that. And if you want to support us, you can do that too. But just thank you for all your prayers. God has blessed us. We got some money in a while ago, and now we're going to be able to expand this ministry around the country. So God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.